Ever feel like your family's got enough drama for a whole TV series? Well, today we're going even further back in time, back to the book of Genesis, for a story that's even wilder.
Oh, yeah. It's got everything: betrayal, family feuds, divine encounters, and in the end, a pretty amazing transformation.
And to help us unpack it all, we've got excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Kenneth Matthews. I'm definitely going to need a guide for this one.
Okay.
So to set the scene, we've got these twin brothers, Jacob and Esau.
And right from the start, their relationship is, let's just say, complicated.
Complicated, putting it mildly.
Yeah, Jacob, with a little help from his mom, Rebecca, he ends up tricking Esau out of his birthright.
For those who don't remember, that's like the firstborn son's inheritance and all the privileges that go with it.
Right, exactly. And not only that, he also steals the blessing that was meant for Esau.
Oh, man, talk about sibling rivalry gone wrong. So at this point, Esau is understandably furious.
And this is where Dr. Matthews makes a really interesting point. He compares Esau's anger to Cain's rage when he killed Abel.
Oh, wow. I never thought about it like that, but that's a pretty dark comparison.
Yeah, and he takes it even further, connecting it to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount about anger being just as bad as murder in God's eyes.
So we're not just talking about a little tiff here. This is serious stuff.
Absolutely. So we've got Esau ready for revenge, and Rebecca, Jacob's mom, realizes she needs to get her son out of there fast.
Enter Operation Get Jacob a Wife.
Yeah.
She sends him back to her homeland, Haran, to, find a nice God-fearing girl.
Yeah, the old find a nice girl excuse. But, of course, that's not the whole story. It's actually a pretty common theme in these stories of the patriarchs, this whole idea of humans trying to manipulate situations, even when God's already made promises.
It's like they're trying to give God a hand, which, spoiler alert, doesn't always work out so well.
Exactly. And it's interesting to compare this to when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Similar situation, right? But there's a key difference. Abraham was adamant that Isaac stay in the promised land. But in Jacob's case, both his parents are sending him away.
So what does that mean for the promise of the land that God made to Abraham and his descendants? I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Definitely something to think about. So we've got Jacob all alone, setting off on this journey, vulnerable. And then he has this incredibly vivid dream that changes everything.
At a place he later calls Bethel, meaning house of God.
And this dream, oh man, it's packed with symbolism. He sees this stairway or ladder stretching all the way from earth to heaven with angels going up and down.
It's kind of like that Tower of Babel story, but in reverse.
Exactly. Dr. Matthews points that out too. In Babel, it was humans trying to reach God through their own efforts. Here, it's God establishing a connection between heaven and earth.
A divine invitation, almost.
Exactly. And then at the top of the stairway, the Lord appears to Jacob and reaffirms those promises made to Abraham. You know, countless descendants, a land of their own, blessings for all people.
Whoa, this is huge. It's directly linking Jacob to that covenant with God.
Absolutely pivotal. But there's this fascinating translation issue that Dr. Matthews brings up. Was God above the ladder in heaven, or was he beside Jacob right there on earth?
I never thought about it that way. It really makes you think about how we understand God's presence, right? Is it this distant, otherworldly thing, or is it something close and personal?
A really good question. So back to Jacob. He wakes up from this mind-blowing dream, and he's just awestruck. He even says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it."
I love that line.
And he doesn't just say it. He takes the stone he was using as a pillow and sets it up as a pillar and pours oil on it.
It's like he's marking the spot as holy ground.
Exactly. This physical act of worship shows how deeply this encounter has affected him. It's a powerful moment of, experiencing the divine.
And it leads him to make a vow to God. He promises to serve him if God protects him and brings him safely back home.
Now, here again, Dr. Matthews challenges the traditional interpretation. He argues that Jacob isn't making a conditional vow, but rather he's expressing faith that God will keep his promises.
So it's more like, because I know you'll be with me, God, I dedicate myself to you.
Precisely. And that brings us to the turning point of the story, this transformative experience at Bethel. Dr. Matthews even compares it to a modern-day conversion experience.
It's like going from, believing in God to really believing God.
Yeah.
Like really getting it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just head knowledge. It's a change of heart. And for Jacob, that change is tied to this specific place, Bethel. We often focus on the dream, but his reaction afterward is important too. He's just overwhelmed by this feeling of awe you know, realizing the holiness of the place where he encountered God.
Right. It's not just a fleeting thing. He actually builds that pillar, pours oil on it. It's like permanently marking this sacred spot.
Exactly. An outward sign of that inward change. Mm-hmm. He's making a statement about God's presence, and that's something that connects this ancient story to us even today. We might not have dreams of ladders to heaven, but we all have those moments, right, where we sense God's presence.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes it's this sudden realization out of nowhere that just leaves you speechless. And then other times, it's more like a quiet whisper, you know, gently guiding you.
Oh, for sure. And sometimes it's not even a feeling. It's like an opportunity that appears, a chance meeting that opens up a whole new chapter in your life. Just like Jacob at Bethel, we each experience God's presence in ways that fit our own journey.
That's so true. And this deep dive is really showing me something else, too. God works through, well, let's face it, flawed people. Jacob's a deceiver. He manipulates things. Not exactly a saint.
Definitely not. But God doesn't give up on him. In fact, he uses Jacob's journey, even with all the mess-ups and detours, to fulfill his purpose.
It's like a cosmic plot twist. It shows that God's grace is bigger than our imperfections. He can even use our weaknesses and failures to do something good.
And that's a message, honestly, we all need to hear, especially when the world keeps telling us we got to be perfect to be loved or accepted.
It's easy to get hung up on our flaws, you know. But Jacob's story reminds us that God can work through us despite all that. Our imperfections, they're not roadblocks. They're like opportunities for God's grace to shine through.
Absolutely. There's one more connection we need to make here. Dr. Matthews reminds us that the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they ultimately point towards the blessing of all people through Jesus.
So it's not just about this one family or one nation. It's about God's plan to redeem the whole world through Jesus.
Wow. Right. It adds this whole other level of meaning to Jacob's story. It happened thousands of years ago, but it still speaks to us today. It's about family, about faith, about encountering God, and ultimately about the hope of redemption for everyone.
And it's a reminder that sometimes the biggest changes happen when we have to leave our comfort zone, you know, and go on a journey we didn't expect, like Jacob running from Esau.
And that leads us to our final thought for you to ponder. The story ends with Jacob leaving Bethel, heading to Haran. What's waiting for him there? What challenges will he face? How will he change?
And how does his journey, all the twists and turns and surprises, reflect our own journeys of faith and discovery? So much to think about. So we've left Jacob at this crossroads. He's had this incredible encounter with God at Bethel, but now he's on his way to Haran. New place, new people. What do you think he'll find there?
Well, knowing Jacob, I'd say probably a mix of adventure and trouble. I mean, this is the guy who's known for, let's say, figuring things out, even if it means bending the rules a little.
Right. Resourceful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does make you think his journey and ours, they have some parallels, don't they? We all have those moments where we take a leap of faith, not knowing what's ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And just like Jacob, we run into obstacles, tricky relationships, and times when it's tempting to just, you know, take control ourselves. The question is, how do we react? Do we try to outsmart everything, or do we lean on God, trust in his promises?
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in controlling everything, trying to make things go our way. But Jacob's story shows us that God's plan is often way bigger, way more intricate than we can grasp.
It's like we're looking at a tapestry being woven. We see the threads, the knots, the seemingly random parts. But God sees the whole picture, the beautiful design, even in the messy parts.
That's such a great image. It reminds me of times in my own life where things felt so chaotic, like nothing made sense. But looking back, I can see God working behind the scenes. He even used my mistakes, my wrong turns, to lead me to something better.
That's the core message here, right? This whole deep dive into Jacob's story, it's been this powerful reminder that God is active in our lives, even when we don't get it, when we can't see the whole plan. He's weaving our experiences, our relationships, even our setbacks into something amazing.
And just like Jacob, we might not always understand what he's doing, where he's taking us, but we can trust that he's there with us every step of the way.
Even when we're running away, even when we're wrestling with our own failings, when we're stumbling in the dark, God's grace is there. It guides us. It changes us.
That's the truth. It's a journey, this whole faith thing, full of surprises. But ultimately, it leads to something incredible, something beyond what we can imagine. Thanks for being with us on this deep dive into Jacob's journey. We hope it's made you think about your own encounters with God, the ways he might be working in your life, even in the middle of challenges and uncertainties.